Hey there, it's Andrea. Welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. I'm so glad you're here. This is a really timely episode for all of you school communicators out there looking at the year ahead and with a lot of questions, right? And especially like, what kind of photos are we supposed to share? And how do I deal with all these negative comments? Well, we're going to dive into it all. I've got a great guest for you, Heidi Feller. She's actually kind of my right-hand woman here at Social School for EDU. She's our chief inspirational officer, and she's fired up about all the great things that are happening, but she knows there's some negativity out there. So we're going to be diving into a lot of great examples for you to be able to share. We've got some great show notes with some direct links. You're going to want to listen. You might want to take some notes, but I can't wait for you to learn more from Heidi. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. We start every episode with a K-12 PR tip, and today I'm taking it right out of our interview with Heidi. She shares a tip about communicating with your community, with your parents, in regards to maybe some back-to-school information, maybe some sensitive information that people might have some questions on, and she shares an awesome tip. She said, hey, send it out direct to your parents through your, email communication system or, your portal. However you get information out, and have a time lag. She's suggesting maybe 48 hours, so 2 days, before you would think about posting it on social media. And you may not even post it on social media at all, but if you do, giving that lag time can give the opportunity for parents to talk directly with the school and ask the questions. Or if they have to vent, maybe they'll vent on their own and not on your page. But it's great advice that there's a time delay. And again, not everything belongs on social media. So I hope this tip helps. Let's jump into today's episode with Heidi Feller. Heidi Feller, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thank you, Andrea. I am delighted to be your guest today.
I am really excited to share. I often think our podcast listeners would really benefit from eavesdropping on some of our conversations that we have about social media for schools, but we're going to filter it because sometimes, especially right now, Heidi, it's a little bit crazy, right?
Exactly. Yes. And we will be filtering. Also, I turned 50 last year. And so that means whatever filter I had, gone, not there, not happening. So yes, while you'll be eavesdropping, we'll be giving you the scrubbed and second grade version.
Yes, it'll be very good. And we're gonna dive into a lot. But for any of our listeners that don't know who you are, Heidi, if you could introduce yourself and share your background a little bit.
Sure. My name is Heidi Feller, and I am Andrea's right-hand woman. I'm her chief inspirational officer for Social School for EDU. I joined the team a little more than 3 years ago. Andrea and I had met about 1 year prior to that. When Andrea and I met, I was embedded in the school district of Reedsburg as their school PR person and was helping lead or drag them through an entire rebranding process. And when we finally got to the spot where we said, okay, we are ready to utilize social media, right? We covered all the other bases. We're ready for that. That was when we brought Andrea in to help us sort of launch correctly, if you will. And there was an instant connection between the two of us, right? Was a bromance, but for women. And we had to wait another year before we could really like start our relationship in earnest. So I have been Andrea's right-hand woman for a little more than 3 years. I come to this business with a slightly different angle, if you will, than Andrea, because I'm a former educator and I come from a long line of educators. So I always have that teacher hat on whenever Andrea is saying something. That's just the extra lens or a different lens or a slightly different take on things that I have. So Yeah. So we work well together, don't you think?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. As soon as I met you, I was like, I need her on my team. And we were growing crazy already, but I could only do so much. And so instantly when you came aboard, which was a big decision for us, right? We sat down at Max with your husband and my husband and really talked about this. And once we made that decision, really the curve really went straight up in regards to being able to help more schools. So it's been really powerful and fun. And I've laughed a lot because you're kind of funny. So
kind of funny. I'm also kind of blunt, right? I mean, I have a hashtag. Does everyone who listens to your podcast know your hashtag?
No, I don't think so. I was nicknamed hashtag the Velvet Hammer back when I was in corporate America because I did have that softness about it, but yet when it came to it, we could get things done. And then what's your hashtag?
My hashtag was also given to me by a former employer, by Tom Benson, the superintendent for the school district of Reedsburg in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And he nicknamed me the Polite Bulldog. But we have a number of superintendents who will sometimes say, well, I missed the polite part. And I always say that's because you didn't listen to me the first time.
So that leads really well into this next question, which is, Heidi, you what hats do you wear and your key roles at Social School for EDU?
Great question. It's a lot. I have a lot of hats. It just depends on the day. Sometimes I'm tech assistants. Which is a bad idea. If I'm your tech person, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. So I, again, am the chief inspirational officer. So my primary focus is client management. So I onboard all new full management clients, districts that we do social media for day in and day out, daily upkeep, if you will. And that then involves a lot of things, including troubleshooting, should that be, you know, the case for the day. And certainly confidant, I would say, to a lot of superintendents and main contacts for our full management clients. I get a lot of questions. What are other districts doing, right? Especially right now. But what are other districts doing? Should we impart this information on social media? If we do so, how do we do that? You know, those types of things. And the other thing that I do is I work in conjunction with our chief people officer, Stephanie Sins, to really make sure that both sides of of that part of the business sort of work well together, that we're supporting our account managers, the group of people who work with us. And that is Stephanie's role, is to really oversee that group, but to make sure that what it is that they do and their scope and sequence align with what we have promised a district to do, right? So I do lots of other things too. You just never know. Graphic design is not one of the things that I do.
Yeah, and it isn't mine either, because we could look at some of examples of what I used to do. Yeah, and my whole philosophy when I built this business was to surround people, myself, with people that are smarter than me, that have different experiences with me than me, and you certainly have done that. It's amazing. But and we'll probably come back. Heidi will be in another episode. We'll dive more into kind of your role and what we've learned. But today I specifically wanted to talk to our school leaders, our school communicators about 2020. It's going to be a different school year, but as you have very keenly reminded me of, there's still so much to celebrate. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. None of us knows actually what this afternoon will bring, right? And I jokingly said in our team meeting earlier this week, all bets are off, right? Buckle up. I think I told our account managers that they should, you know, expect an email at some point from, you know, maybe their district leader saying, guess what, guys? Giraffes are allowed in school. Everybody gets to bring their giraffe on Tuesday, but they have to wear a mask, right? So you just don't know. The bottom line is the learning will continue. It's going to look different. It might even look different from week to week, but the learning will continue. Our students in this nation still want to learn new things, right? They want to be engaged. They want their little brains, you know, to be activated. And our teachers here in this nation and administrators want that to happen. And so if the learning continues, that means the celebration continues. There's so much negativity out there, especially on social media. I'm sure that there are many people who are are listening to this who have probably shut Facebook off, I would encourage you to turn it back on. And I would encourage you to pay attention to the bright spots. And it is our job in this industry to continue to be the bright spot in a very authentic way. There's tons to celebrate that doesn't stop because the learning didn't and won't.
Yeah. And it looks a little bit different. And so one of the big things that I think our listeners are struggling with is like, what kind of photos should we be sharing on social media and what should we kind of be watching for? So we have an awesome one-page download, totally free. It's going to be waiting for you in the show notes. We want you to check that out. But let's talk through some of that advice in regards to what photos might look like, especially to start with for in-person.
Yeah, for in-person, obviously, you want to follow your building guidelines, right? So I am in Wisconsin. Are you today, Andrea? Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm in Minnesota.
So. Right, exactly. Where in the world? Just like that. Yeah, right. Carmen, San Diego. You know, if the guideline is that masks need to be worn, then be sure that any photo that comes to you as the person who posts out on your social media, your district social media channels, that the photos align with what you're learning, you know, guidelines indicate right now. If everybody's supposed to stay in a particular cohort and or they need to be on their X, if you will, then make sure that they are when they come in there. Within that, those parameters, there's still a ton that you can really celebrate. And I honestly believe that video will be much more important this year. I really, really do. Those short sound bites of, let's say, a second grader in his or her pod with mask on, you know, explaining to the camera, i.e. the teacher on the other side, well, how did you get that answer for that math problem, right? We're working on long division. Tell me how you got that answer. Little things like that, right, I think are going to be super important. Obviously, photos with single students are going to resonate more. And I have a strong suspicion that anytime we're allowed to be outside, those outside photos are really going to be important, right? Because we are all spending so much time outside. You know, right? I've worn out one pair of tennis shoes. I just ordered another pair. That's how many miles. I feel like a guy who walked from like California to New York, that's me right now. So, you know, use those photos, right? Get the wins where you can, that kind of a thing.
Right. And I think single photos are kind of the key because even if they're outside, which maybe then you can have masks off, but there's probably still social distancing that might be required or, you know, recommended, which is going to be a challenge for all schools. But your best bet is, you know, single kids and then watch what's in the background. Mm-hmm. Definitely pay attention. Now, what I want to shine a light on, Heidi, because with our system, you know, we manage social media for over 90 school districts across the country. And we have always had a method of getting photos and little videos from staff members themselves. Some of the people listening are the school communications person. They're used to going into the classroom and getting those photos, which may not be allowed anymore this year and certainly wasn't allowed when we went to at-home learning in March when COVID kind of started with the closing of the school building. So can you talk a little bit about that method of just getting content from individual staff members?
Yeah, and actually that method works. Whether I think the beauty of that method, especially in the face of what we're going to be doing this year, right, just takes the onus of responsibility off of the school PR person and puts it in the hands in a really positive way of every single person who comes in contact with kids, with students every day. And that is that when we come on with a school district, we actually establish a social media email address and we give training to that district staff and talk to them about the fact that it is their right, their responsibility, and their joy to help celebrate students and connect schools to their community, right? Using social media. And they do it in a really simple way. And that is, you know, once or twice a month, they send a really great photo, whatever we're asking for, right? I mean, you know, generally we're asking for anything, right, that's engaging. In this case, what we were just talking about, we are probably going to have some pretty strict parameters on it. Still a lot of creativity within those parameters. But that they send that along with a short description, right, to the social media email address. And the school PR person, or in our case, the account manager on the other end of that, knows exactly what to do with it, right? Knows which hashtag to use with it. Knows if it needs a background graphic. Knows how to, I would say, zhuzh it up so that the language is super engaging and that there's a burst of positivity out there on that school district's Facebook page, you know, in an era where everything's super duper negative, and also those deadly hornets haven't shown up yet, but I'm fairly certain. I think it's September 15th. I'm pretty sure. You know what I mean? And so let's say you start out in person, but you've done something like that in your district and said, everybody has the opportunity to help us tell our story. Now, 2 weeks in, you have to pivot, unfortunately, and we're now all distance learning. The system still works. The system still works. The ask is slightly different. And I'll give you an example. So, you know, we had a second grade teacher here in this district, and I happen to still serve the school district of Reedsburg. I act like you guys are all here and you know where I'm pointing. Right. Okay. So I am still in the school district of Reedsburg, you know, boundaries, and we still do their social media because they know what's good for them. And so when we had to pivot last spring, we had so many elementary teachers, but certainly high school teachers and middle school teachers as well, who really understood that concept. Right? They just added one more layer to it. Do you want me to give you an example,
Anna? Yes.
Awesome. So second grade teacher here, who just does a wonderful job. She actually gave her students, as part of their at-home learning sort of, you know, curriculum, the assignment of researching a dream vacation and then coming up with a Google presentation of said dream vacation. And then she gave them other opportunities or options, if you will, sort of you could flesh this out, and encouraged parents, because that's who she was communicating with via email, encouraged her students' parents to document some of these things. So one of our most engaging posts this past spring involved a young lady whose dream vacation was to Paris. That's mine as well. And her mother took the best photos ever. And that posted really well. But you see how you can still celebrate students and all of the learning that's happening by utilizing that system and encouraging parents want to, you know, toot their own kids' horns too, right? Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff I think we're talking about.
Yes. And we'll make sure to link that specific post because it's the cutest. She had a little passport and then they had a picnic. I'll link that in the show notes for everybody. But you're right. Learning is still happening. It's going to look a little bit different because the staff member can talk to their parents, maybe, or maybe high school students, of sharing some of those, a completed project or practicing a musical instrument at home, or, you know, demonstrating a new skill that then can be shared out on your social media pages in a powerful way.
Yeah, it works. And you have to, as the school PR person, I think you have to head to your sweet spots first when and if we have to pivot there, head to your sweet spots first. And then when you get a couple of really great posts, social media posts that do well, and they will, because people are tired of looking at garbage about the election already. When you get that, be sure to share that back with your staff, because some staff members don't have that sort of, like, I don't know, far-reaching look, if you will. Like, they're like, I don't really understand. The kids aren't in front of me. What would I send you? Well, here's a great example, right? Another great one involved a farm tour of a 4K student. So this little 4K student did a little video farm tour of his own family farm that was shared out with the rest of the 4K students, because everybody loves the farm unit, right?
Hello? Yeah. Were there giraffes there?
There were no giraffes there, but deadly hornet giraffe 2020. These are just my thoughts.
This is what Heidi is up at night thinking about. Yeah. That's really powerful. And you're right. Showing your staff examples, and definitely we'll share some here in the show notes, but sharing them some examples from your district that have done well and showing how many people they've reached, right? Because you as the manager can see, oh my gosh, just reached 3,000 people, but they don't get to see that.
Right. And I think that is really important. And I have one extra trick for that, just so you know. Sometimes, you know, you can always do a screenshot so that people can see how many people it reached. But I like to trick people into heading to Facebook. I haven't been paid by Mark Zuckerberg to do this yet, but I feel like he owes me a couple $100, right? So sometimes I'll do the screenshot, but more often than not, I'll actually link that particular Facebook post in the email and then say how many people it reached. Because again, I can see that, or our account managers can see that, because it tricks the person into having to click over and then, like, whoa, you're here on Facebook. Stay. It's awesome. right? Follow our page, that kind of a thing.
Right. And see the comments maybe that have come in and all of that. So we're talking about all the good stuff, which is awesome. And you and I are, you know, maybe some optimists of thinking, hey, there are great things happening. But every day, Heidi, I get the call. How do you shut off comments on Facebook? Hey, Andrea, my superintendent wants us to shut off comments on Facebook. So, you know, what advice do you have for our school PR pros and Facebook managers and social media managers dealing with, you know, maybe a ton of negative comments on their page?
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, get a thicker skin for this year. You're going to need it. We're seeing things on our management pages that we've never seen before. Right? And so get a thicker skin, number one. Number two, be mindful of what it is that you are actually choosing to put out there and be mindful of when you're choosing to put it out there. I'll give you an example. My strong suggestion at this point is that things like back to school plans, right? Those should be imparted directly to your families via email or a text that leads them back to the website, something like that. They should live on the website. They should be sent directly to families. Families should have time to digest that information, cook on it, maybe say something negative if they want to on their own Facebook, right? You know, account, that kind of a thing. And then if you think that you want that on social media, and this is just an example, but if you think you do, give some lag time, right? Give some lag time. The last one that I suggested was 48 hours. Give it 48 hours. And then when it goes on social media, don't lay the entire learning plan out there. It lives on your website. There's trust and transparency. The cranky old guy in your town who wants to know what that learning plan is going to go to your website and read every single page of it. But instead, on social media, perhaps you put something like, for you know, up to the minute back to school plans, please visit our website along with a link. You may still garner some negative comments underneath that. Again, people are frustrated this year. And no matter what school districts decide, they will not be able to make everyone happy. But that sort of mitigates some of it. And then beyond that, I say, get a thicker skin, relax, back up. Make sure you have a good profanity filter. We have one that's so good, it makes your eyes bleed, right? And so it automatically hides all of it, right? Every time I have to upload it, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I haven't seen that since a bathroom stall in high school. But, you know, make sure you have a good profanity filter. Those things are important, but you cannot shut off commenting. And you can't go dark completely. I mean, in an emergency, you can. But as a rule, again, we're back to the world deserves to see the good things that are going on. So make sure that you're flooding your channels with that.
Yeah, really good advice there, Heidi. And we do have a really helpful blog that I'll link in the show notes on, you know, how to eliminate negative comments on your social media posts, which can't really happen. You can't eliminate them, but there is ways of just directing them back to the website. But I really liked what you said in regards to direct communication first and give a lag time between when you impart that information to when and if you decide to put it on social media, because some of those initial questions or concerns or whatever might happen on a spot other than your district Facebook page or Instagram account or whatever, right?
Correct. Because if a parent has a specific question, the best thing that that parent can do is contact the school or the central office directly and hear it right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah,
or as Tom always says, at least it's not the other end, right?
Right.
That gets, then they get to sort of, you know, it's those stages of like, you know, denial, anger, all of that. Let people play that out the way that they're going to, you know, at home, if you will, and place a call or send an email if that's what they need to do before it hits social media.
Yeah. Now, sometimes we play this game where, like, what would you say, Heidi? And then I see if it matches what I would say. Mm-hmm. So I just got this, and I don't even think I told you this. So the other day, from one of our superintendents with our school in Minnesota, said, "Hey, we're thinking about doing. We want to do a Facebook Live Q&A section." A Facebook Live Q&A session. This superintendent's never done Facebook Live before. Wants to know how to set it up. So I gave him some advice. I'm asking you, what would your advice be to maybe a school leader that wants to help and answer questions on video, what would your advice be?
Wow. I need a paper bag. Now is not the time to do Facebook Live. It's not. It is so, nope. My suggestion would be not.
Yeah. So this was my advice. I say, you know what? If you know the top 10 questions that you've been getting and you want to do a video, pre-record that and answer, here's the top, or maybe it's top 5 questions we've been getting. If you have additional questions, because you could post this, then we want you to submit them here and I'll record a second video. But you guys, if you've never done a Facebook Live and like if people are like inundating you, first of all, you got to have somebody help you run that, because you can't talk and watch the comments. And we've had Facebook Lives before with referendum type questions and things like that, right? But a lot of times you get the same question 5 times throughout that 30 minute time slot, and it gets overwhelming. So that was kind of my suggestion. And I got the message at night, and then I was thinking to myself too, like, whoa, I don't think you want to do that. And then the main contact said he agreed totally. He's like, let's just record it. I can help you with that.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure that something like that in that case would go on social media. I hate to say that, even though that's my business. I think that if you had something along those lines and you knew the top 10 questions and you really wanted to answer them in a thoughtful way, I still would send those directly to families via YouTube links and let people, because people hear things or process things in different forms. Some people can read something and they're cool with it. And other people, really do want that video, that sound bite, if you will, that kind of a thing. So, and they could live on your website afterwards as YouTube links. So.
Yeah.
That's biting off a lot to chew. Like, hey, I'm going to jump right in the deep end from the high dive, which they don't have those anymore.
Yes, okay. That's crazy. So we're just going to kind of wrap up because we know everybody's busy and we could certainly share a lot more. But what's one of your favorite social media tips if you were going to, share one of your favorite tips today?
I think one of my favorite social media tips actually has to do with building relationships within your district. And that is this. So many of our teachers they don't know how to brag. They're a humble bunch, right? That's why I don't teach anymore. And just one of the reasons. So they don't know that. They don't know that they have something worth bragging about, if you will. And I mean that word in the best possible sense of it. And so I believe that some of our biggest, challenges as school PR people are to convince teachers that what they are doing is worth celebrating and bragging about. And sometimes that requires like an in-person conversation or even reaching out cold via email and saying, hey, I know you're working on this project. I would love to post about this on social media. I'd love it if our community could know about that. And then doing that by building those relationships and building those people up who deserve to be built up and supported, you end up building your army. So it's a little bit selfish, but you end up building your army. And pretty soon what you have is an army of storytellers in your district. Then you have plenty of things to post on social media, regardless of what learning looks like. The learning will continue.
And you build those relationships one person at a time, right?
You really do. You really do. I mean, I had the pleasure when I was embedded in the district. I would sometimes sub as well. I wore many hats, but I would say things to, the second grade teacher, like, that is the cutest activity. Could you send me a photo of it and just tell me a little bit about it? They never thought it was, and by cute, you get what I mean, but they never thought it was cute. They didn't think it was worthy of sharing, but it's those little moments that absolutely resonate with your community on your social media channels.
And we get to be cheerleaders. You were a cheerleader too, right?
You know it.
And that's why we're good at this job, because we're like, oh my gosh, there's so many awesome things happening in a school at any given moment that we just need to shout it out, right? And luckily Heidi and I are both loud enough to do that, but that's our job. So that's a really powerful tip. Thank you so much. What message do you want to share with other school PR pros out there, now and always? Obviously we're in a pandemic and this is a crazy time, but what message would you want to share?
I would share that this, I guess, what I come back to always is that this is an amazing job. It is a lot of fun. And the positivity can really be sort of heady and addicting, if you will. In a time like this, the negativity can also be addicting. So you have to unplug. You have to. You need to take care of yourself, whatever that means. Set a boundary. Stop taking texts at 11 o'clock at night, whatever it might be, right? Because the job will still be there tomorrow. The celebrating will still be there tomorrow. The cranky comment might still be there tomorrow. It is what it is, right? But it's a wonderful, wonderful job, but there are other facets to your life as well.
That's really good advice. And Heidi, next week's podcast guest is talking about wellness in being in K-12 PR. So Kristen Majette is actually going to be on. That was a perfect lead way. So that's really powerful. And she's going to share some great strategies. So, you know, I can't thank you enough. You'll definitely be back on. These are very helpful tips. We'd love for you to share, some of the best tips that you got out of this podcast episode with us. You can find me on Twitter at Andrea Gribble, and tweet those out. But thank you so much, Heidi, for spending some time with us today.
You are quite welcome.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap. Another episode of our podcast. I hope you learned a lot. And if you did, you should hit subscribe, right? Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? We come out with new content every single Monday. We're interviewing great guests. We're uncovering great tips that are going to help your school. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't left me a review yet, love to hear from you there. So just hit a review. Now, in the show notes, you can actually sign up for my newsletter. You guys, socialschoolforedu.com, we've been serving schools since 2014. We just focus on social media. And if you want helpful videos and blog articles and links to other helpful content, you're going to want to be on that free newsletter. So check that out in the show notes and get signed up today. SocialSchoolForEDU.com is our website. You can check out more of what we offer there. My mission is to help schools celebrate what's going on in their districts with social media. We work with public schools, we work with private schools, we work with charter schools, and we share all of our experience through free content and through some paid services, which include a membership program, a webinar pass. We even do full management for schools. We just want to make social media and celebrating schools easier. So you can check out more at our website, socialschoolforedu.com. Until next time, guys, keep telling those stories.